They helped Hawser in through the breaking waves, over sun-streaked shallows and onto the golden sands. He lay there while the thin and haggard people crowded round. They talked quietly to each other in a language he hadn't heard before. He tried to move, but couldn't. His muscles felt like lengths of limp rag.
"Hello," he croaked.
He tried it in all the languages he knew, but none seemed to work. He looked into the faces of the people around him. They were human, but that word covered so many different species throughout the galaxy, it was a continuing subject for debate who was and who wasn't human. As in all too many matters, the consensus of opinion was starting to resemble what the culture had to say on the subject. The culture would lay down the law, except of course that the culture didn't have any real laws, about what being human was, or how intelligent a particular species was, while at the same time making clear that pure intelligence didn't really mean much on its own, or on how long people should live, though only as a rough guide, naturally. And people would accept these things without question, because everybody believed the culture's own propaganda, that it was fair, unbiased, disinterested, concerned only with absolute truth, and so on. So, were these people around him really human? They were about Hawser's height. They seemed to have roughly the same bone structure, bilateral symmetry and respiratory system, and their faces, though each was different, all had eyes, mouth, nose and ears. But they all looked thinner than they ought to have been, and their skin, regardless of hue or shade, looked somehow diseased. Hawser lay still. He felt very heavy again, but at least he was on dry land. On the other hand, it didn't look as though there was much food on the island, judging by the state of the bodies around him. He assumed that was why they were so thin. He raised his head weakly and tried to see through the clumps of thin legs toward the shuttlecraft he had seen earlier. He could just see the top of the machine sticking up above one of the large canoes beached on the sands. Its rear doors were open. A smell wafted under Hawser's nose and made him feel sick. He put his head down onto the sand again, exhausted. The talking stopped, and the people turned, their thin, tanned, or anyway dark bodies shuffling round to face up the beach. A space opened in their ranks just above Hawser's head, and try as he might, he couldn't get up on one elbow or swivel his head to see what or who was coming. He lay and waited. Then the people to his right all drew back, and a line of 8 men appeared on that side, holding a long pole together in their left hands, their other arms stuck out for balance. It was the litter he had seen being carried into the jungle the day before, when the shuttle had overflown the island. He watched to see what it held. 2 lines of men turned the litter so that it faced Hawser and set it down. Then all 16 sat down, looking exhausted. Hawser stared. On the litter sat the most enormous, obscenely fat human Hawser had ever seen. He had mistaken the giant for a pyramid of golden sand the previous day when he had seen the litter and its huge burden from the cat's shuttle. Now he could see that his first impression had been close in shape, if not in substance. Whether the vast cone of human flesh belonged to a male or a female, Hawser couldn't tell. Great mammary-like folds of naked flesh spilled from the creature's upper and middle chest, but they drooped over even more enormous waves of nude, hairless torso fat, which lay partly cradled in the vast beefs of the giant's akimboed legs, and partly overflowing those to droop into the canvas surface of the litter. Hawser could see no stitch of clothing on the monster, but no trace of genitals either. Whatever they were quite buried under rolls of golden brown flesh. Hawser looked up to the head. Rising from a thick cone of neck, gazing out over concentric ramparts of chins, a bald dome of puffy flesh contained a limp and rambling length of pale lips, a small button nose, and slits where eyes must be. The head sat on its layers of neck, shoulder, and chest fat like a great golden bell on top of a many-decked temple. The sweat-glistened giant suddenly moved its hands, rolling them round on the end of the bloated, fat-bound balloons of its arms until the merely chubby fingers met and clasped as tightly as their size would allow. As the mouth opened to speak, another one of the skinny humans, his rags slightly less tattered than those of the others, moved into Hawser's field of vision, just behind and to the side of the giant. The bell of head moved a few centimetres to one side and swivelled round, saying something to the man behind that Hawser couldn't catch. Then the giant raised his or her arms with obvious effort and gazed round the skinny humans gathered around Hawser. The voice sounded like congealing fat being poured into a jug. It was a drowning voice, Horsa thought, like something from a nightmare. He listened, but couldn't understand the language being used. He looked round to see what effect the giant's words were having on the famished-looking crowd. His head spun for a moment, as though his brain had shifted while his skull stayed still. He was suddenly back in the hangar of the clear air turbulence when the company had been looking at him, and he had felt as naked and vulnerable as he did now.